It's been yet another strange week in our history, and there's lots of anxieties going on and lots of strange things happening, but we wanted to talk through a little bit in the book of James. And Pastor Stan a couple of weeks ago said, guys, what we're going to do in January, because of course we couldn't even think about January, we're trying to get through December. How many people? You're like, are we here yet? Yes, this is January. To all of you online, it is 2020 as well. And told you, dad joke. That one's out of the park. So 2022 has begun. And so he said, we're going to do this thing. And we're going to talk about some of the road signs on life's roadmap. And we're going to start with the idea of, wait for it, detours. How many people have experienced a few detours of late? How many people are right now in the middle of a detour? You weren't even going to be here today. This is just a detour for you. Some of you online, you just clicked the link. You're like, I don't know, I was looking for Facebook Marketplace and found your church. G'day, welcome. It's great to have you with us. Don't know what you can buy, but anyway, no. It's great to have you with us. Say g'day in the comments if you've never met us before. We're kind, we're nice, we're normal people. We always do that at the start of a sermon. I don't even need to explain to you how detoury, is that a word? How detoury the last few years have been. Now, I'm a parent, so my entire life is a detour. Going from my bedroom door to the front door, I have 12 detours before I got there. When I try and leave the house, I discover more things have been drawn on the walls. Yesterday, we have twins, they are 5 years old. Yesterday, we walked into their bedroom, and I had bought we'd done a Kmart shop with our Christmas money. Where are the parents? Kmart shops with the Christmas money. It's great. You can get 4,000 things for $12. It's really good. And so we got sparkly texter pens. What? You guys knew what happened. So we got sparkly texter pens. We walk in. My son's name is Quinn. My daughter's name is Hope. They're of a similar age, very different temperaments, but both have a loud volume when they scream. Oh, sorry, I just had a little trigger. Is there any therapist in the room? No. So we walk into the room and I see Mum. Mum's grumpy. Jody's grumpy with Quinn. Quinn, did you do this? And I look, and all across the bunk bed, sparkly gold pen everywhere. And Quinn got in trouble for it. Right up until the point that we saw the name Hope written everywhere. Life is just full of distractions and full of detours. And I didn't want to be trying to get through a disciplinary moment with my children. And I, you know that moment as a parent where you're kind of trying to tell the child they're wrong, but also just laughing? You're like, this is hilarious, but I've got to be serious. That's a really hard balance to strike. But there are detours everywhere in my life. And I'm sure it would take you about half a millisecond to think of some of the detours that have happened in your life. Where are the planners in the room? Who are the planners? Who have got the map? Abby, put both hands up. Abby and Beck on the front row here. They're like, yes. Where are the wanderers? Where are my wanderers? You get in the car and you drive somewhere, right? The kids know that if they want to go on an adventure with dad, all they have to do is get in the car. They go, where are we going? I say, I don't know. We'll figure it out. We drove to the fireworks at 10 to 12 the other night. We were 11 minutes away from it, but we got there. And then we met some other friends down there and had a ball. And on the way, gave a friend of ours a lift home. There you go. There's an adventure right there. Of course, we were all masked up, I think. But adventures happen when you're just going without a plan. But we need to have a plan, but we shouldn't always be planned. We should always be planned, but leave room for unplanned. Anyone have struggles striking that balance? So that's why God invented marriage. And for those who aren't married, just family in general. How many people had an absolute blast organizing Christmas? Can I just say, 2021 had its upsides. No one was allowed over. It was really easy. Where are you? Right here on a Zoom link. It's fantastic. Don't even have to cook anything. But some of those things are really, really hard to do. But once you get there, they're really exciting. The unknowns are the things that make us nervous. The unknowns are the things that take the ground out from beneath our feet. Now, on a serious side of life, there's grief and there's the struggles that happen. There's the separation, there's the sickness and the death and all of those things that are the bitter part of our lives. But in those places, Christians are taught to find sweetness. Did you know that? Did you know you are taught to find sweetness? The reason we gather here today is because of a guy named Jesus who gave the greatest sacrifice anyone could give. And we commemorate that death, we commemorate a death in communion, and we find that sweet. Now you start to understand a little about how miraculous your faith is. Your faith is something that allows you to find sweet in the bitter. And not just because you put a positive thought into it or overlay it or bury it or whatever. You actually have to acknowledge the grief and acknowledge the pain and acknowledge that God is still at work in that. Acknowledge the grief, acknowledge the pain, and acknowledge that God is still at work in that. And my friends, I know I'm preaching to the choir, and I know you know that I'm speaking this out of a truth that has existed in my life. My life was fantastic up until other people got involved. When you get out onto the road, what is the problem out on the road? Other drivers. And you're all looking at these folks in the room and online, you're thinking, no, none of these people. But do you know what it is when you get out onto the road? Now, I am, of course, on time to everything. Everybody knows that. And that doesn't stress Stan out at all. Because I know that if I have 11 minutes left to get to somewhere that's 12 minutes away, that's okay. And I can still clean the texture off the bunk bed. That's just my life. And there are people that are like, no, I've got to be half an hour early. But either way, you get out into traffic and traffic causes anxiety. And do you know why? Because everybody else on the road is not in line with your will. What you're hoping is that they all understand your will. My will is that I want to get from point A to point B with no distractions. The car is full, the tires don't pop, nothing bad happens and everything's fine and we get there on time and everybody, all the kids exit the car, everything's fine. Nobody spilled juice, nobody spilled milk, and nobody screamed on the way. And nobody fought over the, hey Siri, what song are we playing today? Because we have in our minds a perfect scenario of getting from A to B without any distractions or any pressures. But that is never really true. That's why a country drive is so nice sometimes, even though it takes a long time. Because when you get out onto the road, or when you get out into the office space, or when you get out into the sporting field, there are other people impacting on your will and your way. Sport would be really easy if there was no defense, right? Be easy, wouldn't it? Just kick to the other end or throw to the other end or whatever it is. It'd be fine because there's nothing getting in the way of your will. James 4 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. My question is, how do you actually go about drawing near to God? Have a think about it. What is it that you have done this week to draw near to God? Because what God says is, you need to submit your will and your way to my will and my way. Because your will and your way is reckless, but my will and my way is wonderful. And I'd rather wonderful over reckless any old day of the week, wouldn't you? Because my will and my way says, I'm going to do this other thing and I'm not thinking too much about the other people around me. As you get adultier, you're trying to be more caring about the people around you because you realize the impact of your life and your decisions on others. And you try to live in harmony and community with one another, but it's of course not always possible. But God says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. I love the I will draw near to me bit. I love that. I love that idea that God would actually reach out and draw near to me. But there's actually an action on my behalf that says, I will draw near to you. And what he says in that space is, if you will draw near to me, I will draw near to you, and I will replace your will and your ways with my will and my ways, and you will experience the wonderful peace that comes even though the detour is hit, even though the distractions are multiple and everywhere and outside pressures come. That's why this miraculous thing called the church still exists. Because many, many millions of people have lived in this space all over the world where they weren't necessarily feeling free, and then they found Christ and they found true freedom and they stood up for what they believed and they stood in that place of honesty and held the line. And that's why we get to stand, we're standing on the shoulders of giants doing this today. Isn't that an incredible thing? This is the introduction to the book of James as written by Eugene H. Peterson in the Message Bible. And I thought this was worth reading out loud today because it might just ring a bell. It says, when Christian believers gather in churches, everything that can go wrong, sooner or later, does. Outsiders on observing this conclude that there is nothing to the religion business except perhaps business. And dishonest business at that. Insiders see it differently. Just as a hospital collects the sick under one roof and labels them as such, the church collects sinners. Many of these people outside the hospital are every bit as sick as the ones inside, but the illnesses are either undiagnosed or disguised. It's similar with sinners outside the church. When you look at our church, you should not be looking for pure, righteous, holy people. You should be looking for people who are striving to be pure, righteous, and holy. And you should start in a place of forgiveness and a place of grace, because you do not know the person's story next to you. You just don't. You just don't. And as I have often said, even if you try to explain your story to another, they will never get the full context. And that's why it can feel so lonely sometimes, where you're trying to get somebody to understand you and they can't. But our Father in heaven says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. And that's what we need. We want intimacy. We want somebody to understand. We want somebody to hold our hand and actually get it. But even the closest person to you cannot understand the fullness of who you are, but our God can. And the greatest desire we have is for somebody to know us intimately. And God says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. This is James 4 and from verse 13. And we've got it up there on the screen for you. And it says, and now I have a word for you who brashly announce, today or at the latest tomorrow, we're off to such and such a city for the year. We're going to start a business and make a lot of money. You don't know the first thing about tomorrow. You're nothing but a wisp of fog. Just say wisp of fog. Wisp of fog. It's just a lovely thing to say, isn't it? Ever looked at yourself in the mirror and thought, you're a nice wisp of fog? You're nothing but a wisp of fog catching a brief bit of sun before disappearing. Instead, make it a habit. Wait for it. Make it a habit. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Make this your habit to say, if the master wills it and we're still alive, we'll do this or that. If the master wills it and we're still alive, we'll do this or that. So many people want to know the specifics of the direction. What should I do next? What is God saying to me in this moment? And some of you have asked for prophetic words over your life, and some of you have opened the Bible and just pointed and hoped that's what it said. And we've done all sorts of things. And basically, the Bible continually says over and over, wait on me. Have you ever tried to kick a door and have it slam back in your face? You ever tried to build your career by yourself and have it slam back in your face? You ever tried to get out of that thing early that you're not allowed out of because God's still walking you through it and you're supposed to learn a bunch of stuff? Hello, testify, right? That's what life actually is. And our trust in God is built over a series of trials. And we find sweet in the bitter, because as we draw near to him, he draws near to us, and that intimate relationship is deepened over time. And so we walk through the valley of the shadow of death and we fear no evil, and his rod and his staff, they comfort us, and he lets us lie down in green pastures, and he walks with us beside quiet waters, and he comforts our soul. And that's why that Psalm 23 is so precious to us, because it speaks life into us where we only see darkness. Remember, John 1 says the light came and the darkness could not overcome it. The darkness was dispelled by the light. Wherever there is light, there cannot be darkness. Wherever there is salt, there is always flavor. You are the God colors and the God flavors of the world, so let those flavors and colors come out. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you, and I will hold you in the day of trial. And you cannot compare your trial to another person's trial. Because there are people in this space that we've been talking to who have lost loved ones to the grave over the last couple of years. And I cannot say that anyone has died close to me in the last 12 months. But I can say I've been through trials that feel like death, or at least I think they do, because in my mind that's how the grief feels. But I'm always looking for the sweet in the bitter. And I'm understanding, and this is a blessing to us. I actually like understanding that I am a wisp of fog. I am a wisp of fog that just catches a bit of daylight while I'm here. I'm a blip in the timeline. That could make you feel very, very small and very, very insignificant until and unless you remind yourself that if you draw near to the Creator will draw near to you. And that should be an encouragement that when the detour comes, you can trust Him that He's still leading you in the right direction. That when the plan you had made, Proverbs 16:9, man makes a plan, but God makes a way. You make all these plans up and then God says, yeah, but we're going this way. The Christian life is one of obedience and one of trust and one of wait, obedience and one of trust and one of obedience and one of trust. And that's all it is. It's not about this meeting right now. It's not about the notes you're taking. It's about the next day that is founded on the understanding that you've gained from today, the wisdom that has been given into your heart today. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. So Christian, I ask you, what are you doing to draw near to God? And traffic's a really good example because sometimes you need to draw near to God because your tactics are not working. You are not getting anybody else to obey your will by honking really loudly or continuously or by screaming something at them because they didn't even know you did that. I saw a guy the other day, there was a guy turning right into the supermarket and he was coming up the other lane, and he had to wait a split second because the guy had slowed down to get over the curb. This driver's answer was to aggressively swerve towards the other guy. Yeah, you jerk, yeah. And then he kept going. I had a chuckle because at that point, the other driver wasn't even aware that this guy was doing an aggressive move to him because he was focused on the car park. He was focused on where he was going. And this guy was focused on where he was going, but he decided that guy did the wrong thing and I need to prove that and show that. But that's human nature. I want to get my own back. I want to make sure you know that you've gotten in the way of my will. If we understand nothing else, could we understand that Jesus came only to follow the will of His Father? Jesus came only to point us back to the will of His Father. That was all He came to do. Jeremiah 29:11 was in our quiet time this week, and I was reminded that we love that scripture, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper and not to harm you, all those sort of things. It's a wonderful thing. But the start of that chapter, if you read the headline, it's to a people in captivity, to a people who are currently in captivity. And who amongst us hasn't felt that over the last little while? A sense of I'm being held captive here against my will. And God says, but it's okay, my will is still getting done. So your will, not so much of an issue. Don't you love Jesus? See, our job is not to attempt to change the will of another. Our job is to point the disciple to the deliverer. That's it. Point the disciple to the deliverer. If you have decided that you are a disciple, if you have heard the come follow me and you've started to come follow Him, and in my role in church life, my role is to not give you answers that I think I've come up with. My job is to disciple you towards the deliverer, to do what Jesus did and just point you to the Father. Because your experience is so unique and the parameters of your life are so unique that there is no specific passage that speaks to the exactness of your life except that there is, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. And that's as simple and as difficult as it gets, my friends. That's as simple and as difficult as it gets. We need to point the disciple to the deliverer. I'm just going to skip that next bit, guys, because I'm not going to fit it in. So I'm just telling the guys at the back. But here's the kicker. I was thinking about what's the best question to ask. What's the best? And I wrote it down this way. The best question to ask when you're dealing with detours is, what must I do to get direction? What must I do to get direction? Where's direction going to come from? Nicodemus was the famous Pharisee that came to Jesus and said, what do I do to be saved? He starts to talk about being born again and he says, how can a child go back into the womb and be born again? He says, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something greater than that, something that renews the inside of who you are and recreates you as a new person and a new being. What must I do to be saved is essentially the same thing as what must I do to get direction? And salvation is an ongoing thing. You are being saved. Over and over, you are being saved. So when we look at that passage in James, it says, you don't know anything about tomorrow. It says that you are a fog, a wisp that will vanish. It says that you should not boast in your own plans. So the questions might be, what will tomorrow bring? What doesn't vanish? And what should we boast in? Well, tomorrow will bring the sunrise. Ecclesiastes 1:5 says that. It'll bring the sunrise. It'll be back. Don't worry. He's got it under control. The sun will rise again tomorrow. What doesn't vanish? This is what 1 Peter 1:25 says. The old life is a grass life. Its beauty is short-lived as wildflowers. Grass dries up, flowers wilt. God's word goes on and on forever. This is the word that conceived new life in you. The word of the Lord stands forever. That's the word of the Lord. Get the word of the Lord into you. That's all you got to do. It really, really, truly is. What should we boast about? 2 Corinthians 10:17. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. See, Psalm 91:5 says that the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. So all you need to do is allow yourself to stop. And I'll put it this way. Stop and take a knee. Wait and then go. Because when you're a person of faith, your going is him going with you. You can trust in that. That's solid. That's firm. That's a lock. He is with you even until the end of the age. You don't need to doubt that. And if that's what you're doubting today, stop doubting that. You don't need to doubt that. If you have asked him, if he has said, come follow me, and you have said, yes, I will follow you, you are therefore a Christian. You are therefore accepted into the life of Christ. And you are a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. You are new. And that is the most beautiful celebration and the thing that is worth celebrating. And all you need to do day after day is recognize that the sun will rise again. That the word of the Lord will stand strong. And that you, although your life is a wisp of fog that catches a bit of daylight and then disappears, you are so important to him that he sent his only son to die for you. That's how important you actually are. I want to encourage you today that as you read these scriptures, have a look through them, James 4, and I gave you a bunch of others there, 1 Peter 1 and 2 Corinthians 10 and Psalm 19. Go back to them and recognize that literally millions of people have gained life and freedom from those scriptures. That they have stopped saying my will and my way be done, because my will and my way leads to recklessness, but his way and his way, his will leads to wonderful outcomes. And it doesn't matter then when the detours come, because you're on an adventure with God, and who knows where that's going to take you. But it's a blessed thing. It's a blessed thing to go through trials and come out the other side. It's a blessed thing to look back and go, what was God teaching me? It's a blessed thing to not be able to fully understand tomorrow, not be able to yesterday, not to be able to grasp tomorrow, but to stand in this moment right now and know that he is drawing near to you. That's a blessed thing. So Christian, be encouraged and be that encouragement in the community around you that's suffering from a lot of anxiety at the moment. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And when you see the trials come and when you see the detours happen, you will say, it's okay, I trust you. Do you know what? My God's got a really, really good track record. Like a really, really good track record. Look at the person next to you. That's his track record. All right. So here's the thing that happens for me sometimes. I forget how to preach, so I'm going to sing. Is that right? I really felt convicted that for some people, drawing near to God is listening to podcasts or whatever it happens to be. And that is part of my discipline, and reading the Word is part of my discipline. But singing is one of the main ways I do that. And I felt really convicted to give this a go, so why not? So I just took James 4 and stuck it in a song, all right? Go ahead, make plans. Go ahead, plan journey. But remember the first thing that you don't know is tomorrow. Go ahead, make marks. Go ahead, plot pathways. But remember, you're nothing but a wisp of fire, catching the sun before disappearing. So if the Father wills it, and we're still alive, I'll take all the breaths He's given and sing praise into the night. So if the Father does it, and if we're still alive, I'll take all the breaths He's given and sing praise into the night. 'Cause I cannot see tomorrow, and I cannot hold today. So I'll take all of my sorrow, and to my knees I pray. And I cannot see tomorrow, and I cannot hope today. So I'll take these notes of promise, and throw them all your way. If the Father wills it, so if the Father wills it. I like this line, yeah? And if we're still alive, are you alive? Take all the breaths He's given and sing praise into the night. Yeah. So if the Father wills it, and if we're still alive, oh, take all the breaths I've given, yeah, and sing praise into the night. 'Cause I cannot see tomorrow, and I cannot hold today. So I'll take all of my sorrow, and to my knees I pray. And I cannot see tomorrow, and I cannot hold today. So I'll take these notes of promise and throw them all your way. Sometimes it just helps me to put that into a melody. Maybe that helped you today. Maybe that's a melody that'll come back to you whilst driving in traffic this week. I'm going to bring the lights down, guys. Sort of be worth taking a moment to say thank you to God for getting you through another year. Why don't you just take a personal moment of reflection? Kids and grown-ups, stop and thank Jesus. Draw near to Him, and He will draw near to you.